You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Chronic migraine, 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more, can make me feel like a spectator in my own life.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. It's not for those with 14 or fewer headache days a month. It's the number one prescribed branded chronic migraine preventive treatment.
Prescription Botox is injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Why wait? Ask your doctor, visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com, or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I am your host, Dan Johnson, and across from me digitally is a buddy of mine, Clinton Fawcett. And he, before we recorded, he admitted that he has a big buck hangover. Are you still fired up from your big buck success that you had this past weekend?
I am fired up. Yeah. I'm tired. It is a it is a strange feeling to go from thinking about the deer every day, and talking about the deer every day, to then being lucky enough to get the deer, then staying out way too late with the guys after you get the deer, then trying to recover on Sunday, take more pictures, go to work Monday, tell everybody about the deer. Today's Tuesday. Everybody at work walks around now and says, "Hey, did you know Clinton shot a deer?"
Yeah.
And for 150 guys, it's been very enjoyable.
Yeah. And that's badass. And I can't wait to get into the story. But we got to talk about some like real life stuff. How many kids you got?
Five.
You got, okay, Jesus. Yeah. You got mental illness getting to five, first off. Okay. Second off, what's the age range? Like, what's the youngest and what's the oldest?
Youngest is 7 and the oldest is 18. He plays college football at Aurora.
Okay.
For Don. All right.
So you got a wide range there, but I want to talk towards the, is the youngest a boy or a girl?
Girl. One girl. Boy, Avery, he's the oldest. All the rest are girls.
Oh, all the rest are girls. Well, dang, they probably don't piss all over the place, do they then?
No.
No. Yeah. I was going to have a conversation with you about like.
Avery did. Everywhere, all the time.
He did what he was. Okay. So it is like. It's the middle of the night last night, or it was not last night, like a couple nights ago. And I hear the door to my son's bedroom open. I hear him walk in, and dude, I can hear when he uses the light switch, but he didn't use the light switch. I hear his urine stream just kind of go, you know, when it hits water, when he hits water and then it doesn't hit the water and then it hits the water. And then I hear him. He doesn't wash his hand. He doesn't flush the toilet. He walks back into his room, goes back to bed. About 30 minutes later, I feel like my wife went into the bathroom and she sat down on a wet toilet seat. And I was just like, the whole house, she's just like, what the? She's like so pissed off. 0 to 60 mad. And
I don't know. I got a good kick out of that. And I'm like, yeah,
just,
the kids
just
up.
So you know, that's why I slept downstairs Saturday night after I shot that deer instead of upstairs with the wife.
Okay. Okay, good. You knew exactly where you were at as, you know, as far as a state of a human being is concerned. And you're like, the best thing to do is just avoid my wife at this point.
Yes. I am sleeping downstairs.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Hey, and I'll tell you this right now. That comes from experience.
Yes.
Right? That comes from experience. You don't just like, oh, I'm going to go snuggle up to the wife after I've had 13 beers. So.
Right. Correct. After I've had plenty of beers and am a emotionally train wreck state to begin with. Nothing stable going on.
No, she probably could have taken advantage of you emotionally at that point.
Oh, for sure. I had no, there was no limitations going on anywhere. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Like all evening after I shot the deer, I was just, I still am. It's just such a weird, I don't know how to explain.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, weird state. I don't even really absorb, this is something that a process that I've been through a lot in the last handful of years. Last year in Iowa, I didn't get to do it, but I had two, I shot a mule deer in South Dakota last year, and then I shot a buck in Kansas last year. And over the course of the last 10-ish years, I sit back, I shoot the deer, right? I get fired up about it. And then the second it goes to the taxidermist, I kind of forget about it for a little bit. And I think about it. I look at the pictures. I see the pictures and I think about it every once in a while. But then for me, it really gets absorbed the second you hang the Euro mount or the shoulder mount on the wall. And then it's like, at that point, then you're like, it is now complete. If that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I agree. Mine is getting European mounted right now.
Yeah.
So I will have it back tomorrow so I can take it to work and show all the guys.
Dude, I went on a rant on the last episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles about being able, I feel like there should be some guys out there that take risks. And my joke was like, especially if you live in like a mobile home, get a full body deer mount. Like that buck should be a full body deer mount.
Right. Well, Graf told me today on the phone, he's like, hey, you're not getting your deer mount. And I'm like, I saved the cape and everything. I probably will, but I wanted to be able to feel it. Like I want to be able to shore bunny, put my hands on it. He's like, well, I'll cover getting it mounted. And I'm like, well, I wish I'd done that last week. I'd have done a full body mount on a giant pedestal back here, like jumping up in the cabin. Like we'd have had it cool. You know?
I'd jump in a fence. Oh, yeah. Damn, that'd be badass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like putting all his weight into a rub or something like that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be badass.
Yeah. That would have been fitting for sure.
All right, here we go. Before we get into today's big buck success story, I do have to say thank you to all the partners of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. And I'm just going quick today. So if you want, in my opinion, one of the best broadheads on the market, go to wasparchery.com. They have mechanical and fixed blade options. Discount code NFC20 for 20% off. The best optics in the game, Vortex Optics. They have a complete line of rifle scopes, red dots, binoculars, range finders, spotting scopes, you name it, they got it. VortexOptics.com. Next on the list, my mock scrapes are absolutely blowing up right now. And every day I feel like another buck shows up. The last 24 hours, Clinton, I've had two really good bucks show up on a mock scrape that I hadn't had pictures of all year. Now they're here, and I feel like I need to be making a move here pretty soon. Go to codebluesense.com, check out the Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kit, the scent elimination products, the real and synthetic deer urines, codebluesense.com, discount code NFC20. Last on the list, Reveal trail cameras. Basically, you download the app, you put batteries in the camera, you scan a QR code, and you have a fully functioning cell cam in a matter of minutes. The functionality of the brand new Ultra is second to none. Ease of use is second to none. And their new map and their mapping and the app itself has been updated and has some great functionality as well. Tacticam.com/cameras. And then my company, FullSneakGear.com, if you want a t-shirt, a cool t-shirt. So, Clinton, first off, congratulations, dude.
Thank you.
The buck is a mega. And now I have to ask the question, when does this story start?
Well, I had him last year. I had several pictures. I mean, he was like 140 inch, 10 point or 9 point with this inside tine. And he was pretty heavy. I just thought, you know, he was around. I had a good feeling about him, right? Like, yeah. But I didn't hunt him or anything. I passed him up a couple of times, and Johnny Herman was down hunting, and we were down on the bottom, and we seen him one night. Herman was with me, and I said, that deer is going to be special. I think he's going to blow up. I had no, you know, nothing like this, but yeah. I thought he was going to get bigger. So anyway,
and this was last year as like a 140 class. What was he? 3 or 4 year old?
3 year old. Yes.
3 year old. Okay.
So that's when it started. So then this year I put cameras out. I never put cameras out till late. Herman hunts down here with me. He's like, dude, I want to get some cameras out. I want to get cameras out. It's August. I'm like, whatever. I'll go put some cameras out.
Yeah.
So I put a camera out up around this old homestead in the middle of the farm. And they always come out across there and go across the road out in this other field. So I get a picture one day in the fall. Well, first off, I that deer never showed back up. And he was always up there. And I was just thinking one night, I'm like, man, that time for that deer to show up. The next day we're at work at 10 a.m. Cameras come in. Me and the guys are in the office checking cameras, whatever. And I get a picture in the fog. And it's like, this deer's like 160 or he's 190. I just can't tell. And the next day it come through. I was like, I don't know what deer this is. We're all looking at it and we're like trying to photo edit it on Lightroom and change the color of it and everything. And you just can't see. But the next day.
Right.
It come through and it was like something out of your dreams. He's standing there in the dark and he's got double drops and just this huge frame, you know, he's standing there, he's walking back out and the beans across the road. And I was like, holy crap. I mean, that's what I'll say on here, but I was just blown away, like a dream.
Fired up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you got this, man, there's so many questions to go from this point, right? Because a lot of times we as hunters, we'll see a good deer and we'll pass them. And then we kind of forget about them. Once we pass them, we forget about them. Even after we find the sheds sometimes and we throw the sheds in a pile or hang them up or put them in a bucket or something. And then it's not until the next year when you start to connect the dots. Like I'm sure once you saw that buck and you started looking at its characteristics, you started going backwards in time, trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Yeah. Like I knew it was the whole thing's been so weird, strange, because like the night I was literally thinking about that deer the night before I got the first picture of him. It was like, I wonder how come that deer hadn't showed back up. And then as soon as I got the clear picture 2 days later, I immediately knew what deer it was. Right. And then it's like so many, like, it's like a dream to have a deer like that, right? I didn't do anything special, right? He blew up. It's not like I passed him up for 5 years. He blew up. He put on 70 inches or 60 inches of antler, right?
Yeah.
But then it's a lot of strange feelings, too. Because we've all seen the deer hunting industry and how greedy and selfish and shit. Big deer make everybody go wild. They end up hating each other, bad relationships. Ruins everything, right? So immediately I'm like, I was just almost sick to my stomach that I got a picture of him, honestly, because we have a great neighborhood, right? And we all hunt each other's farms together and we all go drink beer together at night after and celebrate each other's harvests and go with each other. And it's just like everything you could ever want for neighbors, people to hang out with. And I was just, when I got the picture, I just felt so strange about it, you know? Yeah. So I thought about it for a day and then I called the guys and I'm like, look, here's the deal. This is the deer. I'm going around all the cameras, but this picture's on your farm. And I know we hunt the whole farm as a whole. Everybody hunts each other's ground, but
Yeah.
If you don't want me hunting him, I understand. Like, yeah. But I wasn't going to lie about it to anybody because I didn't want to not be able to enjoy it. Right.
Yeah. So you got a collective of landowners in the area that are like permission guys or landowners that you guys all kind of hunt on each other's property. Like it's one big lease almost.
Yes. My neighbor, I've taken care of the farm so we own one end, we own the other end, and the guy that owns in the middle, right? I've taken care of their family's farm for 30 years. And when he decided he was going to start hunting, he's actually a son-in-law, and he come down and started hunting. I told my dad I talked to my dad about it, I said, hey, I don't ever want this to blow up and go south. So I think I've seen this happen so many times. I told dad, I'm like, I don't want to be able to hunt over there and him not be able to hunt over here. So I think before the first day he came down and I met him, like, look, here's the rules. You hunt on us. We hunt on you. This is one big farm. We keep track where each other's at. There's never any hard feelings that way. Not like, hey, I'm hunting over there, but trying to keep you off the other deer. And over the years, he's killed a lot of really big deer. He held the record until now. And then we've also killed our fair share of big deer. And then when Emily and I bought the farm that I'm sitting on right now, we do the same thing. He's more than welcome to come up here. We just, and his boy, and that's just the way we do it.
Interesting. That's, dude, that is so generous. And, you know, I've known you for a long time and you're that guy, right? And I'll say this, that not everybody's going to do that. I mean, you're exactly right. You hear the stories, guys, once a giant shows up on camera, everybody goes internal. They stop being like they're jumping fences. They're holding information. It's ruined. Dude, I know friendships. I know brothers who it has ruined their relationship over a damn deer. And I think it's pretty badass that you went to the table immediately after getting a picture of this deer and saying, hey, listen, he's here. Basically, it was almost like saying, let the best man win at this point.
Right. And I talked to my other neighbors about him also. Like, and I just decided early on, like, you know, with age, I've changed a little bit on it, right? And tried to get more.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go shoot a deer and not be able to enjoy it or ever feel guilty about it. Like I lied to somebody. Right. So,
right.
I was pretty open about it. And I had a couple of my buddies that told me, like, I can't believe you're telling people about that deer. And I'm like, well,
yeah,
I get that, but I also want to enjoy the deer. Right. Like the guys at work,
right.
Like they got to enjoy it. Right. And the people on the different group text messages, they got to enjoy it. Right. And everybody got the experience of it. I was just the one lucky enough to run into him, right? And but it's been very enjoyable so far. So far it's been weird feeling, but it's been great. So
That's amazing, man. I love your take and your direction on that. Now let's get into this buck per se. Okay. Talk to us a little bit about where this buck lived in the terrain that he lives, like kind of break down the farm per se, talk about the movement, the bed to food patterns, and maybe any shifts that he went through over this 2-year period to get him to where he's at today.
So when I first got the pictures of him and kind of got okay with him being there and like not as anxious as I was at the beginning, I started going back and looking at last year's stuff, and I knew where I'd filmed him and didn't shoot him. And he had spent a lot of time where I shot him, where I ended up shooting him, and he had spent a lot of time up here. And that's about a mile apart, right? Or 3/4 mile apart. But our timber, we're on the edge of the prairie. It's, you know, our side of the farm's 500. My neighbor's on the other side's 800. It's not a ton of timber, probably 500 acres total out of 1,200 acres of total ground is timber.
Yep.
And this deer, I think, liked to stay out in the prairie in little bitty blocks of timber, because I would get him where I'm sitting today, tonight on camera all the time, not all the time, but last year I did a lot. And then I would also get him around and down in the middle where I ended up harvesting the deer, but I never got him in between. So he had to have been going out and around, yeah. I think. But
So he had a big loop then.
Yeah, I think so. But my neighbor to the west wasn't getting a lot of pictures of him. He was getting pictures of him, but not like all of the time, right? So I think he must have just been going out in the open in the little bitty draws where I don't have any cameras. But so he started in August. He was down there about a mile from here to the south. And then I would get pictures of him. And then he, you know, typical thing out on the prairie, he'd be gone for a couple weeks and he'd come back. I get pictures of him for 3 or 4 days and he's gone. Then he, when he shed velvet, I have any pictures of him for a long time. Then he came back like the end of September. He was there. Beginning of October, he was there. Then he was gone. I never had any pictures of him. Then he showed up here and he just from like the, I don't know, let's say the 12th or sometime after that, he was up here on the farm I'm on. And I had he was here a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So he had a crazy year as far as you put on the miles, it seems like kind of in this big track, right?
1 mile, like cameras, camera to camera, straight line, a mile in one night, early season.
Yeah. Like, that's strange to me because that, it, in my opinion, or well, in my experience in farm ground country, that just doesn't happen.
No.
A lot.
It was really strange for me that he was doing that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's far apart and that's just where my cameras were. So he was probably going a little farther. Right. But I would get him a mile camera to camera in an evening.
In one,
several times.
In one 24 hour period.
Yeah.
Did you ever get him in the morning on one side or middle of the night on the other side and then back again on the other one? Like
the day I,
24 hour period.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have him in one night from a mile apart in one night. The day I killed
then
him.
And back the next morning?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And so farm country, some prairie mixed in there. Is that like, when you say prairie, is that like in CRP, ground that's in CRP?
A little bit of it, pollinator program, and then grass that I planted, and then it's all big ag out to the east farther with a few small draws in it. And we're one major draw all the way down the middle for 3 miles or however long the whole farm is. I don't know. Our side's not very wide, right? Like it's 200 to 500 yards wide, but long. So.
So this farm is a giant rectangle, basically.
Yes. Yep. The whole farm together with the neighbors is a giant rectangle. And we own this much on this side and they own that much on their side, plus a bunch on the bottom.
Okay. All right.
We don't hunt. I don't hunt his. That's just my neighbor I communicate with that I know that we talk deer hunting all the time.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So you started to find a pattern to where this buck was at. How much information from last year did you pull into where you thought he might be traveling this year?
100%.
Yeah.
I went straight off last year's data. I went back to every picture I had, looked at it, looked at the dates. There's a giant white oak that's up here on this end of the farm, and that's the first place he went. And I got his picture up here last year on this end, and it was one day later this year. He was on that scrape up here, and then he moved into this end of the farm and stayed. And I knew, I'm like, well, last year he did that, and then he went back to the middle of the farm again later in October, and I was just trying to keep it. I really thought I'd shoot him up here and I just couldn't make it work out, but
he
was shifting here and then back and then here.
Yeah. Why do you think he was moving around so much?
I don't know. I would assume because the lack of any other mature deer, maybe. I mean, there's some other mature deer on the farm, but nothing that's very big, but that doesn't mean they're not mature and mean, right? But I don't know. He just did. Like, it was strange. You know, I had a lot of buddies.
Did
he
do that last year too?
Yeah, but he was a 3-year-old. So he was just like, you know, he just go, right?
Yeah.
Like he's just going.
Yeah.
So
I was just, you know, for some reason I have this thing in my head, and maybe it's worth thinking about, maybe it's not, but the acorn crop this year was gigantic across a lot of the Midwest and even into the South. And it's like, for a while there, it's all people were talking about was how big right. the acorn crop was. And if you have a big timber and you have a lot of acorns hit the ground, well, your food source is just spread out throughout the entire countryside. And right. so deer don't necessarily have to have a strict bed to food pattern. And I was maybe curious if you felt like that played a role in his movement at all.
I think it did for sure. I think that's where he went from like early October or late September until I started getting pictures of him up here. And that's the first place I got pictures in was on this big white oak. And it was yeah. like marbles underneath of it. I mean, there's yeah. some like you're talking about. But the other thing is here, we're in this giant drought.
This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
Like, it's raining outside right now, and this is we have not had hardly any rain for the last 3 months. I would say under an inch and a half total. Like, there's just no moisture. The creeks are all dry. There's a few ponds scattered down through the farm. And I do know out on the prairie, some of those little draws have water in them from spring. So I think between the water and the acorns, it had him kind of, you know, like once you leave here and go south, you got to go clear to where I shot him to get to water again. There's another okay. pond way down. So maybe he was going pond to pond, you know, water source okay. to water.
Interesting source. Theory. I like that. And that makes sense. You got to drink at some point.
Right.
Right. Right. And if you're in heavy drought and there's no water, you're going to stay close to where there is water.
Right.
So, okay. All right. So as you started putting together this buck's pattern, right? When did you think, like, were you going to go after this buck right away, October 1, or was he still nocturnal? Like, explain to us what your thoughts were leading up to attacking this buck.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Well, normally I lay off a lot until I have like pretty good information of where he's at and what he's doing. And this buck last year moved a lot in the daylight as a 3-year-old, but most of them do. But I didn't hunt him early. I just kind of got ready. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I hunted him until I had a daylight picture of him, I believe on the 10th in the morning. And I was like, okay. And we had a little cold front around the 7th, 8th. And I thought, well, you know, we'll see what he does because he wasn't around then. You know, I just didn't have any pictures of him. Then he showed up back up here and I started trying to hunt him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when I had the right wind, I'd hunt him up here. Sometimes he'd be on the other farm, vice versa. But I started getting quite a few pictures of him, I would say a week ago, probably a week before I shot him, but all not where I ended up killing him. I got all the pictures up here where I'm sitting right now. And he was just daylight, or right at dark. He liked to move a lot in the mornings in daylight. I get him in the mornings, which I never hunt mornings. Never.
No.
Until the rut. And I really hate rut hunting even because I don't like knowing what's going on. It's just so random.
Yeah.
So, but he was moving in the mornings a lot. So I decided then, I'm like, okay, I need to start hunting mornings right now. Yeah. Like last week when I was at work all week, I'm like, okay, I need to start looking at where I'm hunting Saturday, Sunday morning because he's moving in the daylight in the mornings all the time.
Okay.
So,
all right. Which is strange for a guy to start taking into consideration morning hunts, the pre-rut, now that it's the 28th, when did you kill him on the 25th or 6th?
Yeah, I killed him on Saturday. Yeah.
Saturday. Okay. So today is the, 25th, which is right around the time, a lot of guys say that the pre-rut kicks off and things like that. And I typically don't hunt mornings quite yet. I will probably Friday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning. But outside of that, I'm not too terribly stressed about getting out in the, getting out in the mornings quite yet. But it would be tempting to, tempting and probably the right thing to do if you started getting morning pictures of this buck moving.
Right. And it's, you know how the family dynamic goes too, right? Mm-hmm. Like you only have so much time that you can be gone and not family time. And I will tell you this to start out, like I've killed some nice deer in my life. My wife has never told me I killed a nice deer. Most of the time when I take a deer home, she says, "Why did you shoot that deer?" Well, it was 6 years old.
She knows anything about deer hunting, right?
She's like, "Well, that deer doesn't look very big." And I'm like, okay. But when I started getting pictures of this deer this summer, she was like, "Wow, now that is a deer," right? So then it's helped out too because I've always coached football. I didn't coach this year because we're busy at work. So I was just helping on Friday night. So I'm around more. And her and the girls have been very supportive. Like, hey, we'll arrange practices, pick people picking up. Go hunt the deer. Don't give up on him. Go hunt the deer. Go hunt the deer. But but still, like hunting mornings and evenings, eventually that grace period runs out, right? So in the whole time in the back of my head, I'm weighing like, do I want to burn my bridges now and, deal with the wrath of mama because I'm gone all the time.
Exactly. And that's the balancing act that a majority of us have to go through every single, every single year. All right. So
last week,
go ahead.
Well, I started getting a bunch of pictures of him last week or let's just say 7-10 days ago. So I'm like, well, I talked to Frankie a bunch about it. And he's like, dude, you have to hunt him. Like, I know you don't like putting pressure on stuff, but you got to just start going all the time. So I hunted, I sat in the same place. I had him on this corn patch over here. I hunted there four nights in a row. And he was there every night in the dark, but he was there in the morning. Like I got a beautiful sunrise picture of him in the morning. Like he's standing there, his horns are all silhouetted against the sunrise. Mm-hmm. And he was there and I just couldn't get it to work at night. I don't know, but it's great access, right? But the problem I was running into too, my access is across my pond levee. And then when I would come out, there's all these deer on the pond drinking, which they've never done before, so dry. Yeah. And I was like, man, what if he's there? Like, I hunted him 4 days in a row here. Then I went back south for a day, wasn't there. And then he was up here again, just camped out. So that was last week. Then on Friday morning at work, the guys were asking me our big job. I'm like, oh, you got any pictures of him? And my phone goes off during the meeting and he's standing on a scrape down here in the bottom in the daylight at 10 a.m. Right. And I was like, okay, I have to get up there, So that was last Friday. And that's kind of when it really got when I really felt like we were in the game.
Okay. So Friday you get a picture of him. You know where he's at ish. You kind of,
It's 10 a.m. So I wouldn't have thought he went too far, right? Like I know he's probably in that bedding area.
Right. But you said that he was up at your place for a while, and then he shifted off of that, right?
Yep. And then he came back. Now we're back on my place again.
Oh, okay. Here. So he eventually he eventually came back. Why do you think he came back there? Is it because that's where the does were at?
Maybe it was, you know, I don't, my neighbors were hunting him a ton too. They were hunting a lot, but if they weren't getting a lot of pictures of him, I don't know that they pressured him out. I really think he was going out in the wide open and he'd just come back.
Yeah.
Like he was just here. And gotcha. I knew he was there Friday and I'm like, we're in, there was east winds coming and I never have any good east wind stands. And all last winter and this summer, I worked on getting good east wind setups up here. And I've got a couple that are bulletproof. So when I seen the east winds coming and the southeast winds, and it was Friday, I had a picture of him at 10 in the morning. I'm like, okay, our percentage is a little bit better than it's been, right? Like we're in the game here.
Right. Okay. So the 10 a.m. pick, and then did you hunt him Friday night?
Yeah, I left work at 2 o'clock or 2:30, and Derek, I don't know if you remember Derek that was on White Knuckle a long time ago with Jake Meyer. He met me up here at the farm, and we were having a beer that night, just talking, and then we were going to go hunting. And Derek was going over to his farm's about 5 miles from here, and it was like 3 o'clock, and our phones started just going nuts with deer pictures. And I'm like, holy crap. And Derek's like, man, I can't get where I'm going. There's already deer there. And he's like, I'm going with you. So we just grabbed all of our stuff and walked over there and went. And we were in there at like 3:15. And I told Derek, I'm like, man, he was right there. He's within 150 yards of us bedded there. I know he is. And we hunted and we saw like 10 or 12 does. It was like 6 o'clock. They're all out there. I got to be at the football game to film and help coach till on Friday at 7 o'clock. So I'm like, all right, I text the coaches. Hey, I got a deer of a lifetime. I haven't showed all you guys the pictures of it. I'm going to be late. Like I just get it set up for me. So we're over there. I told Derek, I'm like, man, it feels good. I know he's here. I can feel it. And there's all these does in front of us coming out of where he come from. The wind was good. He always came with the wind partially into his nose. Like I never had pictures of him going with the wind wrong, right. And there's all these does out there, and all of a sudden this little buck comes, runs all the does off, they go back behind us, get downwind out in the middle of the chisel plowed bean field, and this doe starts blowing, and I'm like, crap. So they leave, we bail down as soon as they leave, take off to go back to the football game, and when we get back to the truck, I got a picture of him 100 yards from where we were hunting, headed away from us. So when those does blew, he was there, right? And it just didn't work out, you know? Lost you.
Oh, my God. But he was there.
There, I got you. You there?
Yeah. Yeah, but he was gone, right? Like, he was there. You got down, but he was there.
He was there. He was coming, right? He was right inside the woods.
Right.
He was coming. And when those does blew and headed back in there, he was there and he went back. And I got a camera down there in a thicket 100 yards away, and he was headed away from us in that picture. So, I mean, chances are he was coming up there. That's where I'd had his picture at 7:15 that morning in that food plot before he went down to that scrape at 10 a.m. He was coming back up there, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Next morning.
So I go to football Friday night. I'm all like, man, I know he was there. I come home. I've got everything ready. I've got this east wind stand up here. Great access. Got to come in the other side of the farm. I've cut. I got just beautiful access down this ditch. I cut all the chainsaw. I get up in the morning super early at like 4:30. Check the cameras. He's been up here all night. I'm like, okay. I go down the ditch. I get in there. It's an hour before daylight. I'm all set up, which is, I never do that, right? I'm in there an hour. I mean, I'm 100% ready an hour early. Deer walking around, man, hear them. Gets daylight. There's does everywhere. I'm like, all right. I just know it's going to happen. 7:15, my phone goes off. I look at it. He's a mile away to the south on a scrape. And I was like, I've been telling Frank the whole time, I'm not going to kill him chasing pictures. because right. he doesn't do the same thing all the time. He's just always gone, yeah. right? And I was just like, man, you know, that's the downfall of cell cameras. You know,
and
like
that's a conversation that I wanted to have with you about this, because I know you and you've been killing really good deer for years, even before cell cameras became ultra popular, right? And right. so you, in the story so far, you were telling us, I got pictures of them here, I got pictures of them here. And obviously you're not checking your SD cards every single day. You got cell cams running.
Correct.
And they're sending pictures to your phone. And you said something there that I'm never going to kill this buck chasing pictures. What, like, explain what you mean by that.
Well, like, you know, I used to, before cell cameras, you know, like I said, we're on the edge of the prairie, right? So I've got a lot of good scrapes that are out along these field edges. So I used mm-hmm. to, I would just get off work a little earlier when I was going hunting, and I'd have my computer in the truck, and every day I would buzz a few of these scrapes on the way home and check what was there the night before. And mm-hmm. if he was there, I would try to hunt in that area. Like, so right. essentially I was doing what a cell cam does now. I was just working a lot harder at it all the time, right? But with right. chasing the pictures on this deer, like, I would never get his picture twice in the same place.
Yeah.
Like, if I got it there that morning, he was never there that night. And he would right. be way away. So, like, normally, let's say you get him there in the morning, or he's in this bedding area, you can go there, right? He's probably going to be there. But he just constantly, like, I just think he worked in a circle or some type of route, circuit, whatever you want to call it, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't think I could count on him to come back, you know, to the yeah. same place. Yeah. Unless he was on, like, hot dough or something when that got to right. that point.
Right, right. Okay.
So, but, you know, the stealth camera things, that's a whole nother conversation, because it's like you're hunting all the time. You're never not yeah. hunting. So you have this yeah. feeling, even at work every day, of where's he at? What's he doing? What am I going to yeah. do? Where's he going to go? Where am I going to go? Type thing. So,
yeah, yeah. All right. So, yeah, Saturday yeah. morning, he's a mile away. Next, Saturday night.
So I get out of the tree.
Yeah.
I get out of the tree Saturday morning. I'm in this best spot, one of the best spots I have. And I'm like, I just need to get down and go home and spend time with the family. So yeah. I just slid out when the deer were gone, went home, kind of regrouped, worked on the wife's car, did some things. And then I was like, well, Saturday night, now I have to move to where he is. And I have one stand there that's for an east wind. And I put it up. It's a double ladder stand that I put up for my buddy Mike and his son.
Yep.
I don't know, 7-8 years ago. You know how time goes. That could have been 10.
Yep.
Who knows? But it is in a decent spot. It's about 300 yards from where I had his picture, and he was headed that direction. So
right.
That's what I did.
And so
we're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, Galaxy rewinding, what's the whole deck with Galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
What is it like getting a trail camera picture of this absolute giant deer and then shutting your truck door? You know he's close. And you're trying to tiptoe through the fields and terrain, knowing he's close and knowing that, dude, you make one wrong move and it's over, right? Is there an added layer of, I guess you would say, suspense to your access routes when you're going yeah. in like that?
Yes, 100%. Like, that's been what's been, I think, such the strange feeling I have even right now still. it's just been so different because, like, I've been hunting him, right? I have to be super careful. I'm putting more pressure on him than I normally would on any deer. And I'm against the pressure thing. Like, I just kind of outweigh them and eventually I'll get them, right?
Yep.
But I was constantly hunting him, but I was also constantly hunting him every day with my phone, right? Which is a whole nother feeling of the cellular trail cam thing, right? Like, I just don't, it's just this whole right. different aspect to it, right? So you're sneaking everywhere. So giant suspense, total, you know, just, yeah, it was just weird. I was so careful early, yeah. clean, shooting my bow all the time, making sure the cameras were all right, making sure I was going to, most of all, making sure I was going to do it justice for one, and then also making sure that I yeah. don't mess it up for me necessarily, or also the pressure of making a good shot if I do get him and not mess, you know, everybody's hunting him, right? So now if right. let's say I make a bad shot on the deer, then I failed everyone because now they're not, he yeah. goes off somewhere, who knows if he's still alive, and then everybody's done and we didn't get the deer, you know? Right. So just a lot of,
so how do you balance anxiety. This?
A lot of anxiety.
You got, right? Like, yeah. So how do you balance this? You share this picture with another guy who hunts the same farm, and you are going in after this buck every single night. How did you balance this out with the other guy? Because I'm sure that this guy kind of wanted to hunt at some point, right?
Yeah, he's not here yet. So he doesn't okay. live here.
Oh, okay.
He lives a couple hours away. And I always communicate with him, like, hey, you coming down this week to hunt? And he's like, you know what, man, I got a lot of stuff to do at my house. I have a lot of work I need to get done at home. And I'm just mm-hmm. going to wait till the end of the month. I'm just not yeah. going to mess with it. He goes, you just have at it. I'm not going to mess yeah. with him. Like, okay. You know?
All right.
So
that's a green light.
And it's been, it's surreal to me, right? Because what I'm telling you doesn't normally work out. And the relationships don't normally happen.
Yeah.
And it's still like, I just wait for it to crash down every day. Like, honestly, yeah. I do. Like, it's just yeah. like, well, this is not too good to be true. Right.
Right. So absolutely. Okay.
So anyway,
all right. Saturday night, you're tiptoeing through the woods.
I go to the ladder stand. I go along this field. I'm on a big field edge. I go to this ladder stand. I sit there. I don't see any deer. It's cloudy, east wind, blowing pretty hard. We're right on the edge of a front. It's raining a little bit, not raining, on and off. You know, the guys, group texts are going off. They're seeing deer. People aren't. Czar's boys are shooting deer. We're laughing at them because he's got kind of a goat roping going on. I don't have any deer. DeCruz texting me about some stuff on his Tacticam account. I'm like, dude, I shut your Tacticams off a year ago. He's asking about this deer. I'm like, he's starting to get to me, man. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, the deer's starting to get to me. I need to take a day off. Like, yeah. So I'd almost written off the night already, right? Like, I'd already decided okay. it's like 6:05. Dustin's texting me. And yeah. I'm like, I haven't even seen a deer. This deer is getting, he goes, I can tell that deer's getting to you. Don't let it, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm going to take tomorrow off, stay home with the family, even though I know he's up here. Like, I just need some time. Right.
Right.
So I'm like, I should just get down because I've been trying to get better. If there's not deer out there 15 minutes before dark, just get down and get out of there because then you're right. not running them all off in the dark. Right. So this is all going on. I'm trying to get, thinking about getting down. I look up and there's a doe across the field, like 150 yards coming out of my prairie grass. I'm like, oh, I mean, I didn't know it was a doe. I could just see it was yeah. a deer at, you know, 6:10 at this point, or maybe a little bit later. And I get my binoculars up and look, and it's a doe. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm like, well, I need to hurry up and get out of here before any more deer come. I turned around to take my camera down above my head, my DJI cam. And I just turned back around and I seen another deer and it was him. I get my binoculars. Crap. There he is. And he's 150 yards away, right where I thought he was bedded. He come right from where I thought he would have went this, you know, that morning, right where he had bedded the year before. I'm like, well, there he is. So now what do you do? It's like, you know, it's probably 6:15 at that point, but it's you know, shooting times like 6:36 or 6:35. Mm-hmm. It's cloudy and raining, sprinkling. It's dark, right? And I'm old. I can't see like I used to, right? So it's like, well, I need to have my buddy Chase was farming close by. I'm like, I can have him come get me in the truck, push him out with the truck, not blow him out of here.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do. And I'm like, well, I should film him first. So I get the camera on, I start filming him. I'm like, oh, a little bit more light than I think there is, you know, than I thought there was. And he's standing over there. So I reach up and I got my bow, cause I'm self filming at this point, and I got my bow way up above my head. So I grab it, bring it down. I look at my sight. I'm like, oh, my pins are still glowing good. I'm like, well, he's not very aggressive normally in pictures. He's never with another deer, always by himself. When he is with another deer, you know, it's not really any aggression shown. I'm like, well, I'll try to grunt at him. But the wind's blowing, you know, 15 mile an hour from him to me. I mean, directly from him, directly at me. And I grabbed the grunt call and I let out just a brah as loud as I could. I'm watching him in the camera screen. He doesn't hear it. Louder, like just annoyingly loud, right? He kind of, I'm seeing kind of thing here or something. So I just blow it like a dirt bike as loud as I can. And he stops and turns. And then once I knew he heard me, I waited like 5 seconds, just went real quick at him. And he wagged his tail. And I was like, no way. And he just turned.
Dude, you said something right there. That tail wag, you know that it's like, especially after you blow. So like, I get that a lot when I do the single grunt in the timber, you know, like on a non-windy day or something. They stop, they look, and then when they flick the tail, it's almost like you know they're coming.
Every time.
Dude.
Every time. So now I've been sitting there all night, right? Haven't seen a deer, already written the night off, already thought about where to go the next morning, but written the next morning off, right? And I don't want to shoot this deer chasing a doe through the woods, self-filming. Frankie had surgery yesterday morning on his ankles, so he's out, can't do anything. I'm thinking about that till I'm sure. I'm like, I just don't understand why this can't just happen. Like, why can't I kill him out in the open on a plot coming through this tall prairie grass? Like, I just don't know. Then all of a sudden, there he is, right? Then I'm not thinking I'm going to shoot him because it's late. I need to get picked up. I grunt at him. Here he comes. And now he is walking on a beeline straight to the tree. Yeah. And I'm like, just make sure that the footage, that this is a worthy cause. And this goes back to something I told you years ago. And I brought this up to Czar before. We were talking one time and you asked me about shooting a deer off camera. Mm-hmm. And I said, if I'm filming, I will never shoot a deer off camera. And you said, no, that's bullcrap. What if it's the world record? And I said, I'm not shooting one off camera. That's the point of taking the camera. And all summer with this deer, every time I hunted, I even told Czar last week, I'm like, I told Dan that like 4 or 5 years ago, and that is going to come back and bite me in the ass. I know what's going to happen. Right. So anyway, here he is 150 yards away, walking right at me.
Yeah.
I'm filming him. I have my bow in my left hand, camera in the right hand, and I'm just making sure it's good. And he's coming right to me. And earlier in the night, they had cultivated the end rows off that field, you know, last. They worked the field across and worked the outside edge last, you know. So I had ranged. I could see the cultivator marks. I knew it was 20 yards.
Yep.
So I decided when he was coming, I didn't want to have to worry about ranging anything. And it was getting darker, that if he was under 20 yards inside that line, I would shoot him. Yeah. Or try to shoot him, right?
Yeah.
So the whole time he's walking, it's like 4 minutes on the camera. He's coming across there to me. I'm filming, but trying not to look at it the whole time. So my eyes are messed up from the screen. And he got to about 75 yards and he just, I thought the deer was 190.
Yeah.
When he got to 75 yards, I was just like, this is next level. Like he's so massive and so big.
Yeah.
And he walks into that line in the dirt and I see it in the screen and I zoom out real slow, but he's quartering to me coming. And I was like, well, I can't stop him because he's just going to be like this and look up at me. Right. And that's not going to do any good. So he comes and he starts to cut to the right and he goes behind this, I'm in a big pin oak tree. This ladder stands like brushed in this pin oak tree. And yeah. He goes behind the big branch and I turn the camera to film him. And in my head, I'm like, well, I'm just going to have to let him go. Like, we're going to have to live to fight another day on this because he's quartering to me. He's obviously trying to get downwind of me. He's just going to walk in the woods on there on this trail. And I was almost, so now I've already decided I'm not shooting him. Like, it's just not going to happen. And I get him back in the camera and he had come closer to me. He's like 5 yards, maybe 7 yards. And he stops and starts making a rub on a tree and he's trashing it. And I was like, in my brain, I was like, there's no way this is happening.
This is meant to be. This is meant to be.
I thought I'd kill him Friday night, didn't. Thought I'd kill him Saturday morning, didn't. Seen him Saturday night, thought it was too dark, already figured out how to get my buddy to come get me. Now he's coming. I'm going to shoot him under 20. Now he's quartering to me, going in the woods. I got to just let him go and live to fight another day. And now he's rubbing a tree at 5 yards or 7 yards. And I turned, drew my bow back, and I was like, I can remember vividly, like, he's grabbing this tree and like ripping his head backwards with his branches in it. And I remember when I drew back and got the pins on him, his rack come into my peep sight. He had turned his head so far back against his body. And I was like, I don't even know how to explain it. I was like, I remember I thought to myself, don't shoot him in the shoulder. And he's 7 yards away. Don't shoot him low. And I just come back off his shoulder 6 or 8 inches and down off his spine. And it just right through him. And he had no idea I was there. Right. So he jumps, mule kicks, and then crashes underneath my tree, like runs right against the tree I'm in, and then goes back just in a strange direction back that way. And it's real windy and rain. And I hear him crash, you know, crashing while he's running, and then nothing. Right. I'm shaking just talking about it. It's just so.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
So wild. So then it's
it's like, I wish I was there in the tree with you, dude, to experience that.
It was incredible. And then I was just like, I didn't know, like, he's there. Is he still standing there? Did he fall over right there? I heard him running, but it's windy, raining. I don't know what's going on. Did any of this even happen? Like, am I in some alternate universe? So I'm like, I go to get my, I just sit there for a minute and I was like, I don't even know what's going on. So that's, I go crazy, to get my phone to like text the guys, you're not going to believe what happened. And then I was like, I need to make sure that even happened. So I shut my camera off, turn the big screen on the top of it, and then film it with my iPhone and then scrub back through. And I was like, there's no way that this deer just come 150 yards to me with the wind that is in his butt the whole time and then rub this tree at 7 yards while I was self-filming and killing him.
Yeah.
And I just sat there, and there's one spot where I turn around and look at the, you can just hear me talking to myself on my mic, and I didn't film anything. Like, I didn't even turn the camera around, which I've been filming. How long we've been doing this? 15, 17 years probably.
Yep.
I didn't even turn the camera around. I just sat there. And at one time I turned around and said, there's no way this is real. Is this a dream or something? And then I sat there for 45 minutes. I couldn't get out of the tree. It was just, I don't know.
Dude, that's awesome. All right. So let's kind of go through this next part. Like, did you feel like it was a good shot?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You felt like it was a good shot.
It sounded really good. He reacted really good. And the crashing, you know, it sounded like he ran somewhere that he shouldn't have. Right.
Yeah.
It was so loud. So I felt, you know, pretty positive. Confident.
Yeah. Okay. Well, easy to find him? I mean, did you wait for someone or did you?
I sat in the tree for 45 minutes. I had texted all the guys and said, hey, they were all like, what are we doing? And I was like, just meet me at the cabin. I'll be there eventually, which is where I'm sitting now. And they were like, okay. And I finally got down when I could and I got my arrow and there wasn't a lot of blood on it, which isn't unusual for lung shooting a deer, but there was a bunch of blood right beside where I'd shot him, where he had jumped. But I walked all the way out and around to stay upwind of him to get back to the truck. And I was dry heaving. I couldn't talk. They were trying to call me. And I just told him, like, I'm going home. And I just went home and ate supper with the family and hung out there for a little bit and then come up here and try to gather my thoughts.
All right. We're going to fast forward just a little bit. You shoot him, you go home, you relax. I take it you had a couple buddies with you on the track job.
I come up, Frankie, my buddy Josh, Chase, my buddy Ethan, Matt Miller, and his son. We go in the woods and go find him.
This is my favorite question to ask anybody. Of over 1,000 episodes of doing this, this might be one of my favorite questions. And that is, when you touch his rack for the first time ever, and you lift his head up, what is the first thing that pops into your head at that moment?
I was astonished. I was astonished. Like, he's so heavy, right?
Yeah.
And he's so big. And I don't know. It's hard not to cry talking about it, right? Like, my whole life, that's what I've dreamed of having. Like, shooting a giant deer on video. Perfect video with a perfect shot, and it's laying right here, and all my friends are with me, and it's a Saturday night. We have no responsibilities. Like, this is what hunting's supposed to be. We're all here together. I didn't kill him on my own. I'm just the lucky one that got to be there when it happened, right? And there he is, right? And Frankie, you know, like always, Frankie's filming off to the side, and he sees him, and the blood trail's tough because it bottom entry exit. So it's plugged and I'm nervous. I'm ready to back out. And Frankie says, what would you do if I told you he's laying over there? I've been looking at him for 5 minutes. You just won't go far enough. And I was just like, you have to be kidding me. And then, you know, you go, there's this huge, massive horn sticking up and you can see it, you know, and we all just walk up there together and like, just, I didn't pick him up for a long time. Like, we just stood there and then we went and picked him up, and I was astonished at how big he was. Like, he's so big.
All right. Now I gotta get to wrestling practice, but
perfect.
I gotta ask you this. Did you score him yet?
Yes.
And what did he come out as?
205 3/8. And he's got 5 inches of tine broke off the one side. So I thought he was 190 all summer, and he was legitimately 210.
Yeah.
In all the pictures.
205, double drop tine. This is a Larry Zach buck, my friend. You know what I mean? Like, this is pretend shit, right? That people see drawings of and artwork on magazines of, but they don't ever see this in real life.
Yes.
I wish I would 100%. Have asked this question. I wish I would have asked this question at the beginning, but I'm just going to ask it now. Cause with you mentioning that he was near a road, did you ever worry that he was going to be seen by some lunatic who was going to put him in a spotlight?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Every day.
Okay.
But
right. Every day.
that gets you to the point you have to try to block that out of your mind because you'll just go crazy. That's like worrying about if the neighbors are going to shoot him, right? Like,
yeah,
it just sucks the fun out of everything.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
205. He's going to be on the wall by this time tomorrow, my friend.
Right there.
You got that spot?
Yeah.
Somewhere up there. Perfect. Perfect.
This one goes down to there. He'll go up there. Actually, he'll go to work with me and ride in the truck so all the guys can get enjoy it. Like, I'm excited to
love it.
Take him to work tomorrow.
I love it. I love it. Well, Clinton, man, there's, you know, one thing I hate is when someone says you deserve that buck, because that's almost, I almost take that as an insult, because I don't, like, you work hard for this. I know I work hard for it. And I would say congratulations on a well-earned buck.
Thank you.
And dude, I almost want to say congratulations on a dream literally coming true.
I would agree with you on that 100%. Like, it is 100% a dream come true. I'm just so lucky, right? Like, how does that even happen? I don't know. Like, how does it happen? Well, I would show you the video on my phone right now, but I know you have to leave, but it's just, how does that happen? I don't know.
Man, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait to watch the video. Is it going to be on Bowhunter.i?
Yeah, they're probably going to keep it till next summer. They were talking about doing some big thing with it.
That's stupid. I don't know. You tell Czar I want it out now.
Yeah.
I want it out now. So, Clinton, man, congratulations again on a beautiful, beautiful once in a lifetime buck. And, hey, guys our age, we got a lot of hunting left, actually. So you never know. The next 25 years, there could be another big dog that shows up that you get to connect.
It could happen. It could happen. You never know. Hopefully it's you next.
Well, I appreciate that. Good luck the rest of the season, man.
Thanks, Dan.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.